Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we hear from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we set our sights once again on the sustainable investment landscape and focus in particular on green bonds. Our panel will be reflecting on UBS joining the Climate Bonds Programme, the ways in which some of the new innovative instruments in this space work, and asking, what do recent developments mean for the mainstreaming of green finance?
There's been an extraordinary growth of this concept that money should do well and do good, that capital should do well and do good over the last few years. This is a revolution, absolutely, in the form of capital. It's not about short-term bucks now, it's about making sure that your money contributes to the long-term good as well. Because if we just focus on the short-term, there is no long-term. We have to do both.
Green bonds and sustainability in the spotlight then, this week on The Bulletin with UBS. We start the programme with Michaela Zyman-Howard, Sustainable Investment Strategist at UBS CIO in London. Michaela, I guess a basic question to start. What exactly is a green bond?
Well, green bonds are actually quite plain vanilla conventional fixed income instruments, like the typical kind of bank or corporate or sovereign bond you find in the market. The difference is basically that the issuers earmarking particular proceeds of the bonds to projects with environmental value. So they want to make sure that the monies which are raised in the markets are going into projects where you make an environmental difference. We have seen over the years a growing number of issuers coming to the market. I think the number at the moment, as the Climate Bond Initiative gives it, is around 500 different issuers we count. So typically, or the first issuers in the market were the so-called multilateral development banks. You might know the World Bank or the European Investment Bank who are on the forefront of this, or like in Germany, you have the KfW, Kreditanstalt für Wiederaufbau, which are very active and proactive issuers in this environment. But then you also have more and more governments coming to the market, and you also have your usual corporations. So particularly utilities companies and banks are big issuers here.
So are green bonds then impact investments? Rachel Whittaker's a sustainable investing strategist in the UBS CIO. Rachel, where do green bonds sit within the larger sustainability landscape?
Sustainable investing as an investment discipline has been around for, in its modern form, for around about 40 years. And so we saw the first mutual sustainable investment funds emerging in the 1970s. And then it was more focused on ethical investing or socially responsible investing. There are lots of terms that have been used to describe it over the years. And it tended to focus more on exclusion approaches. So avoiding investing in companies that are involved in activities that you didn't like from an ethical perspective. And not thinking so much about the impact that that might have on your investment returns. And over the years, that approach has evolved. And we now have a whole range of different approaches to sustainable investment, many of which put the investment returns on a par with aligning with your personal values. And green bonds is a relatively new addition to the sustainable investment universe. And it's particularly interesting because it does differ from that more traditional approach where you're investing in organizations that you generally think are sustainable. And it's investing in securities where you know that you are funding a particular project that has environmental benefits. And we think they're a really great option for investors who are looking for that kind of environmental benefit, as well as looking for market rate investment returns, because green bonds are like any other type of bond. The only difference is that the proceeds are going to a specific environmental project.
On this certain change in perspective about these products, they were viewed as rather a niche offer. Now, nigh on a mainstream play, global market value is approaching $500 billion. Rachel Whittaker, is that trend set fair to continue?
Yeah, very much so. And I think that trend of shifting away from being a niche and more into the mainstream is something that we're seeing across sustainable investing. And part of that shift is being driven by the emergence of new investment types like green bonds, where we see that you can generate these good investment returns while being sustainable. So in part, you have a virtuous cycle going on here where we see that the growth in the industry is encouraging investors to come up with new approaches to investing, and that in itself is bringing new players into the market and growing the whole market for sustainable investing.
Rachel Whittaker. Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll hear from Sean Kidney from Climate Bonds Initiative about their work and about what partnering with UBS means for the programme. Sean Kidney is Climate Bonds Initiative CEO. Sean, just to start, can you explain to us exactly what the Climate Bonds Initiative is?
Climate Bonds Initiative is an international organisation with a mission to mobilise capital for climate solutions. I don't just mean little capital, I mean $100 trillion out of the bond market, which is the size of the bond market. To achieve a transition to a low carbon and climate resilience world, because we're feeling the heat now, right, this last summer, we need to invest something like $90 trillion US between now and 2050. It's extraordinary how much we've got to do. It's like the biggest investment pipeline in history. The good thing is it's all investable. It can be made into investments. It doesn't need to be raising taxes and then spending taxpayer money. We can do this. In the same way, we built infrastructure over the last 150 years by designing systems that give a reasonable return to pension funds and insurance funds. We're not talking about Goldman Sachs returns here. We're talking about pension funds and insurance funds. If we do that, then we can actually make the transition because we know what to do. Energy, water, low carbon transport and so on. We kind of know what to do. It's just this vast application of capital we need to move to. And that's what we work on globally.
Sean, I know partnerships are fundamental here. UBS is now a partner. How do those sorts of relationships help towards the CBI's agenda?
We're a small NGO. Even the UBS is small in the context of the job that's got to be done. We have to band together. We have to work with each other. So UBS has fantastic reach amongst private banking, in particular high net worth individuals around the world. It has a huge force of people looking at how to design financial products that will meet the needs of investors, which is what's got to be done. We're partnering with them because they're interested in the work we're doing about what is green, what are the right kinds of investments, a taxonomy of climate change, if you like, to make the transition, to help them design suitable instruments for their clients. And we're going to be a bit creative. We're going to start thinking about how do we actually intervene in financial markets in a way that'll push finance in the right direction. Are there indices to be done? Are there special products to be done? Are there debt products? Are there retail products, the green finance products to be done, for example? And that's what we do in our partnerships. We have projects which look at what could be done. In some areas, we work with a partner on green securitization and what that could be in Europe. Another area, it might be looking at opportunities around agricultural investments in Africa. So we partner with them with the people with specialist expertise. That's the point of it. So in UBS's case, we're really hoping that we might be able to ramp up the availability of green investments for the sort of people, frankly, like you and I, who would like to put our money to work while getting an income. We're not talking about sacrificing income. We're talking about dedicating income to investments that will give a return. I remember I mentioned all these things are investable and also help save the planet. Well, not so much the planet, at least save our species.
Rachel Whittaker, coming back to you on this point, the prerequisite, if you like, to partner with others here. Of course, if we talk about the SDGs, SDG 17 is itself partnerships for the goals. Why are these collaborations, like here, where UBS has partnered with the Climate Bonds Initiative, why are those sorts of partnerships so critical?
I think it's important that in any areas of innovation that UBS and other organisations partner with the specialists who have in-depth knowledge in some of those areas. And we at UBS are specialists in investments, and some of us, like myself, have spent many years of our career focusing on sustainable investment in particular. But I'm not an expert in renewable energy, for example, or water. And so one of the difficulties we have with new asset classes, and green bonds is a great example of this, is how do we make sure that the projects that are being funded through these bond issuances are genuinely sustainable. Now, we can look at the information that issuers give us about the projects they want to fund, but it's very hard for us to really know whether those are genuinely environmentally beneficial. So by partnering with organisations like the Climate Bonds Initiatives, they're trying to encourage a more rigorous framework for labelling. They're trying to encourage companies to be more transparent and to report the kind of information that investors need to be able to know whether the projects are sustainable. And they have that kind of insight into the environmental benefits that we don't necessarily have as investment specialists. So we want to be able to give our clients the reassurance that what we offer them is, and the ideas that we offer them, are both good from an investment perspective and good from a sustainability perspective. And we're not going to pretend that we have all the expertise across all of these areas, but that we do know who we need to partner with to make sure that that happens.
Let's look at the wider sustainability landscape. There are a number of objectives in this space set out by the likes of the United Nations, etc. Sean Kidney, how would you sum up the longer term view? Is what we're doing now enough? Is the pace of change fast enough?
You'd have to say there's been an extraordinary growth of this concept that money should do well and do good, that capital should do well and do good over the last few years. We have about $23 trillion of assets under management around the world claiming to be responsible investors. That is, they're looking at long-term considerations that will basically improve the community, the environment in which they invest, the world, if you like, as well as short-term considerations to make sure you get the coupon you need each year to be able to live or survive. So this is a revolution, absolutely, in the form of capital. It's not about short-term bucks now. It's about making sure that your money contributes to the long-term good as well. If we just focus on the short-term, there is no long-term. We have to do both. And that's really what it's about. So it's extraordinary movement. Is it enough is your other question. Look, I'm going to say it's line ball. I'm going to say if you speak to a climate scientist, we've lost it. You'll find many climate scientists nowadays who say that we're on the road to losing a third to half the world's population by the end of this century. Some say it's the extinction of the species because of the extraordinary drastic changes that we're seeing in climate change as a result of fossil fuel emissions over the last 100 years. And, you know, the heat wave that has been experienced across most of the northern hemisphere this summer is not so much something that hasn't happened. It's more extreme because of climate change, and it's now going to be something we have every few years instead of every 100 years. That's had an impact on us. But the emissions that have created this heat wave were emissions that were put into the atmosphere 30 to 40 years ago. The emissions have been putting in at a higher rate over the last 30 years because the latency effect started affecting us in the 2030s and 2040s. i.e., it's going to get a hell of a lot worse before we even have a chance of managing it. So even if we cut emissions globally now, we're going to get much hotter years, droughts, floods, and those sort of things. And that leads to all sorts of things. It leads to wars like Syrian war, as Obama has called it, the first climate change war, because the number of people that were forced off the land because of extensive climate change-related droughts in Syria, which led to civil war eventually. We're going to see dramatic changes in sea level rises and storm surges in the deltas of the world. And that means 100 million people in Bangladesh have to move, and they haven't got anywhere to move, and that's probably a war. So I'm going to say that from a rational perspective, we've left it so late that we're like 1 minute to midnight to be able to address climate change. We've got to make drastic changes. So the movement about responsible investment, you know, it's a dream. Let's face it. It's fantastic it's happened. But we now need to really focus on the climate issue to shift capital. This isn't about feeling good now. This is about creating a future that our children will have any kind of life in. Not a good life, any kind of life. And, you know, I swing between optimism and distress. You read the science, you get distressed. You look at the capital flowing, you start getting optimistic. The only thing I would say is, I'm not going to give you a clean answer. I'm going to say, I think it can be done, but we have to move so damn fast. And, you know, that's why for us, it's fantastic that UBS has become part of this movement, as looking for ways to make capital flow faster and, frankly, to find solutions to this unbelievable challenge that we face on the planet.
Some wise and inspirational words from Sean Kidney, bringing us to the end of this 202nd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.